Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The structure of American agriculture keeps shifting toward fewer but larger operations as consolidation continues across the countryside. The latest USDA Farms and Land in Farms report shows the U.S. had 1.865 million farms in 2025, down from just over 2.02 million in 2018. Now, in the meantime, land and farms slipped only modestly to 873.9 million acres. And because farmland changed little while farm numbers fell, average farm size climbed to a record 469 acres. Now, the trend reflects long-running economic pressure, higher equipment cost, labor shortages, and thinner margins, which make it harder for smaller operations to remain viable without expansion. So many retiring operators not replaced by new entrants, it allows neighboring farms to absorb acres. Shift changes how production decisions ripple through rural communities. Fewer operators now manage a larger share of output, concentrating risk and marketing power into fewer hands. Patterns suggest structural change rather than a temporary cycle, reinforcing expectations that farm consolidation will continue shaping rural economies and land markets in the years ahead. Producers entering this year still face tight margins despite the improved headline farm income, as much of the recent rebound came from policy support rather than stronger markets. Economists at Ag America Lending say the financial outlook remains strained, especially for crop producers facing high costs and volatile prices. Government program payments surged by more than 200% in 2025, stabilizing balance sheets, but the support may be temporary. Report warns long-term plans built around subsidies could leave operations exposed if payments decline or policy priority shift. Credit conditions remain restrictive. Higher for longer interest rates are affecting operating loans, equipment financing, even land refinancing, with beginning farmers and borrowers using variable rate debt facing the greatest pressure, while grain and cotton margins remain particularly tight. Livestock operations, especially cattle, currently hold a comparatively stronger position. Energy markets sending conflicting signals to ag, though, with lower long-term fuel prices, but continued short-term volatility in heating and fertilizer inputs. U.S. Energy Information Administration's February short-term energy outlook projects Brent crude oil averaging $58 per barrel this year, $53 next year, as global production continues to outpace demand and inventories build. And despite the recent geopolitical disruptions, expanding output worldwide is expected to keep diesel and fuel costs generally softer over time. Of course, nat gas telling a different story in the near term. Henry Hub price averaged $7.72 in January after winter weather tightened supplies. Storage levels now projected to end the winter about 8% lower than previously expected. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
With all of these things considered, let's just look at possibilities, not my forecast, just the possibilities.
Matt Makins is a meteorologist with Cattle Facts, speaking recently at CattleCon 26.
La Nina spring would be on the left, neutral spring on the right. You can pick your location. You can tell me which one you would prefer. But you can see the big difference in the speed. If we can hang on to La Nina a little bit longer, we're still very, very dry in the southwest. If we can get rid of her quickly, you can see where the moisture spreads from the southwest through Texas all the way up into the upper Midwest. Those are possibilities. What about summer? We're no longer worried about La Nina at this point. We're either ENSO neutral or we're El Nino. You can pick your spot on the map and tell me which one you would prefer. The one on the left, ENSO neutral, is kind of what we had last summer. The one on the right, what would be potentially the dry impact if this really kicks in quickly? Central corn regions. When it kicks in too quickly, you see Iowa dry out first. Rapid onset of drought. The last time that happened was in 2023, but we still had great corn. Southwest can also be dry. So these are possibilities for the summer. But caution on the central Midwest. If you ask for an El Nino too soon and you worry about corn, that's going to be a concern, potentially. And then look at the falls. We have two options. We're either going to sit in neutral or we're going to go to El Nino. And you can tell me which one you prefer, because every region is different. But if you're looking at El Nino, that's a whole lot of water for a whole lot of folks, right? But there are the offsetting factors that we have to consider, too. The monsoon could be critical for this year for multiple reasons. Okay, those were the possibilities. Here are the outlooks. Here are the latest analogs, computer models, all put in together. So here we go. Here's your forecast for the spring. We're still going to have to worry about drought across the panhandles, the high plains, California, Arizona, these kind of locations. We will still spread water in basically here through the Great Lakes, the northern high plains at times. And temperatures, yeah, we're still going to have to worry about this volatility of getting some cold shots. But that chance rapidly decreases once we get past February. Here's your forecast for the summer. So it's kind of a blend. It's not banking on El Nino setting in just yet, but it does begin to include drought potentially from the Dakotas into Minnesota into Iowa. Moisture begins to be much more prevalent in West Texas now, New Mexico, Arizona, up into Colorado. Other potentially dry areas would be around, say, Houston. Okay, and we've spread that drought to the Pacific Northwest, into Montana, and into the Canadian prairies. Temperature-wise, what's the swing like? La Nina loves really hot days, really cold days. El Nino's a little bit more on the neutral side. You could still get some really hot days. It's really more about the drought conditions where you are. But El Nino typically kind of wants to make everything a little bit more moderated, if you will. But watch out for the Pacific Northwest and those areas of corn all the way down to the south, because the speed at which we do this transition could make those areas wetter. Perhaps that's what you would prefer. Those would be the cautionary areas. What about this fall? Okay, there's your map for the fall. What grabs my attention is, you know, that looks a little different than that El Nino map that had green painted all across the south, right? Why are we seeing California just neutral? Why are we seeing Arizona and parts of New Mexico still leaning dry? Because of offsetting factors that I talked about. We're not going to get into them today, but others will talk about them. They're called the PDO, was the primary one, and some ocean temperatures off of the Baja of California. They're offsetting factors. Where this forecast will be wrong is likely in the southwest. Straight up and honest, that's probably going to be the biggest bust. If this speeds up or anything changes, watch out for the southwest. It could be tremendously wetter than the forecast given. But there are offsetting factors that we have to consider. We saw that again, and I'll repeat, 2023.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
This is Agriculture Today.
Early projections for the 2026-27 U.S. corn balance sheet indicate another year of large supplies, steady demand, and continued pressure on prices.
Mark Rosenbaum with Terrain.
Terrain projects planted area to fall to 94 million acres, 4.9% below 2025-26, but still above the 10-year average of around 91.9 million acres. With a trend yield of 183.5 bushels per acre, production is projected to exceed 15.8 billion bushels, potentially the second largest crop on record after the 2025-26 crop. When combined with Terrain's expected 2025-26 ending stocks of over 2.15 billion bushels and modest imports, total supply for 2026-27 is projected at just over 18 billion bushels. Strong yield potential and strong carry-in stocks suggest availability will remain high entering the marketing year. We expect domestic use to hold steady, supported by consistent livestock feed demand and industrial use shaped by ethanol margins and evolving biofuel policy. Exports remain a key variable, but corn prices near $4 per bushel should support global use. Argentina, Brazil, Ukraine, and the U.S. account for about 90% of global corn exports. The combined stocks-to-use ratio for Argentina, Brazil, and Ukraine has fallen to 4.7%, the lowest since 1983-84 marketing year. This tightening suggests large volume importers may rely more on the U.S. in 2026-27. South American competition remains strong, but Brazil is consuming a growing share of its own crop as its ethanol and livestock sectors expand. In 2025-26, Brazil used 74% of its production domestically, well above recent averages, limiting exportable supplies. China's import needs, however, have moderated, adding uncertainty to global trade flows. We project U.S. ending stocks for 2026-27 to remain above 1.9 billion bushels, reinforcing expectations of a well-supplied market. With ample inventories, our projected average farm price is $4.33 per bushel, favorable for buyers. Two wildcards are better than expected demand strengthening or weather reducing supply. The early soybean outlook for 2026-27 is for a recovery in acres and higher production, although we expect higher total use, both foreign and domestic, and lower ending stocks compared with the abundant 2025-26 estimates, ample supplies from production and beginning stocks will continue to pressure prices. Terrain projects planted area to rebound in 2026 to 85 million acres, up 4.7% from 2025, as expected market prices currently favor more soybean acres relative to last year. Assuming a trend yield of 53 bushels per acre, we forecast total production to rise by almost 200 million bushels to 4.46 billion bushels. Total supplies are set to increase by 318 million bushels as our forecast for larger 2026-27 beginning stocks, mostly from lower 2025-26 exports, contributes to total supply. We expect domestic use to increase by 20 million bushels to 2.62 billion. However, higher crush is possible if crush margins, biofuel policy, soybean meal demand, or a combination of these factors supports higher crush volume. Terrain forecasts exports to increase 25.9% to 1.825 billion bushels, with the assumption that China meets its purchasing goals of 918 million bushels, or 25 million metric tons. The increase in exports to China will likely be offset slightly by lower shipments to other destinations. Ending stocks are forecast to tighten over the 2026-27 marketing year. Still, they could be around 370 million bushels if trend yields are achieved again next year, even if our export forecast for 25-26 is realized. Our projected 2026-27 average farm price of $10.31 per bushel reflects the relatively comfortable stock situation as well as continued competition from Brazil. However, U.S. average soybean prices have a considerable range of possibilities at this stock level and remain heavily influenced by South American supplies, trade relations with China, and biofuels.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We've gotten past the February WASDE report.
Chad Hart is an agricultural economist at Iowa State.
In that report, what USDA does is they tend to update us on the demand side of the corn market. And so when we think about, you know, the updates there, the reason they don't do supply is because the January report is supposed to represent the final numbers we see there in terms of the overall production of all of our crops that we grew this past fall. And if they're going to make any sort of supply adjustments from here on out, we will not likely see them until next September when we're going into the next harvest, and that's when they reevaluate the supply side. So here in February and March, there's a lot of concentration on the demand side. How are we using those crops up as we move forward? And here's where I will say USDA didn't make many changes when you looked at the February WASDE, but they were kind of telling in where those changes were occurring. So let's start with corn. As you look at the corn crop here for 2025, so looking at that 2025 column, because right now we're in the middle of that marketing year. I always have to warn folks, when I say a year, like 2025, I'm typically talking about the marketing year between September 1 here of 2025 and August 31 of 2026. So we're about halfway through the 2025 marketing year. On the supply side, we knew we were looking at a massive crop, the biggest we've ever seen. 17 billion bushels worth of corn was produced this past fall. So the big question is, how will we chew through all of that corn? And as you look at the gray box here towards the bottom of the table, that's where the usage categories lie. And in this case, the only change that USDA made was a 100 million bushel increase in export sales. As we look at exports so far here for the 2025 marketing year, they are moving at a record pace. In fact, topping the record we just set last year. So we've been on a very strong run in corn sales internationally, despite all the tariff and trade sort of turmoil that has gone on. And the big key to this seems to be that if you were a commodity where China was not a major player, well, then trade continued on as it has been for a while now. On the other hand, if your commodity relied upon trade with China, we did see a lot more disruption there and challenges there. So corn, we do not trade a lot with China, and therefore we continue to see those sales grow. So as you look at total use for 2025, we're looking at a record 16.5 billion bushels of corn usage. That's higher than it's ever been by nearly 1.3 billion bushels. So while we had a record crop, we're also seeing record corn usage. That is helping limit, if you will, the damage to stock levels and prices. In fact, USDA kept their season average price at $4.10 a bushel. Now, we look forward to 2026. USDA is expecting a little less corn planting, but still a fairly sizable crop given trend line yields. And so we're going to need to see that demand continue to build and grow. Now, in this case, we won't get updates for the 2026 part of the demand equation until we get to the end of this month. That's when USDA will provide us a little brief update as they do their ag outlook forum at the end of February. And one of the numbers I'll be watching there is looking at those 2026 exports. So you can see here, USDA right now is at 3 billion bushels there, so down from where we're at right now, but that would be the second highest total we've ever had.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
One of the things that we've really seen here in the course of this decade is what we define as the northern leadership to our fed cattle market. That Nebraska Midwest market that's had at times very large premiums to the southern market.
Mike Murphy with Cattle Facts.
We don't believe that's going to be the case this year. Couple things for that. Number one, as of January 1 of this year, the Cattle on Feed report, if you go all the way back to when the USDA made all the major adjustments of how they reported cattle on feed, which was in 1996, the January 1 report, this is the first year ever that we have more cattle on feed in Nebraska than we do in Texas by about 90,000 head. We have a bigger supply in that northern region. That's one of the variables that we believe will start to kind of limit that ability for that northern leadership and that big northern premium in the market. If you look at this chart, we've got about 10 years worth of data here. The big premiums here this decade, we went pretty consistently there for about 4 years. When you look at that January 1 on feed supply, that was literally about 220,000 head smaller in Nebraska than it was in Texas. If you go back to the second half of the last decade, really 2016 to 2019, that gap was only about 60,000 head differential. Now we've got a larger number on feed. This is important. I don't think we're going to have that northern leadership like we've had the last few years. It doesn't mean the market still can't perform very well, but I don't think you're going to have that big northern premium that you've found. More importantly is if this border continues to stay closed going into the fall, what will that look like in terms of that potential like we experienced this previous fall, that discount to the market? So those are just some things to kind of think about. Now, there's a lot of moving parts here, packing capacity, the cleanup cost of cattle in terms of how their quality grade, all those variables play a role in this. But this does look like we're in a transition here of 2026 and probably going forward into the end of the decade where you won't have quite as much of that northern leadership. Demand is measured not only at the level that Kevin referred to, but the demand for the market itself. And that's what this here is. This is the live cattle management along. This is that group of capital that looks to go find markets and take a position in terms of being long or short a market based on what they see in the marketplace. In 2025, this management long sat for about 10 months, essentially at a record long position if you go back for the last 20 years of data. That was very strong demand. It kept a huge support to our marketplace all the way through this last year. We believe here in 2026, yes, there will be times where they're increasing their long position just as they're doing here in the last several weeks. But we feel like it's going to be more like it has been historically. They'll get to that optimal spot. They'll be there for a couple of weeks, and then they'll start to liquidate their position. And we all remember from the middle of October till the first of December when they start to liquidate the position, the influence or the impact it can have on our market. Just think about the cash market and how that traded in there going from, you know, 240 in the middle of October, and then all of a sudden we're back to 215 there the first of December. We don't see the same amount of demand from that outside capital as we would have seen in 2025. And I think that will be a limiting factor to our market to a certain degree. More importantly, what it does is it just results in that this has to be a cash-led market. Cash has to lead us every single week. So when you find news like you had overnight, does that stymie that ability for the cash to lead? And the money may not be quite as aggressive.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Demet, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
As the agricultural sector turns its attention to the 2026-27 marketing year, producers and market participants face another season of shifting acreage decisions, evolving global trade dynamics, and uncertainty around input costs and weather.
Mark Rosenbaum with Terrain.
Terrain's early projections for corn, soybeans, wheat, and sorghum suggest a landscape marked by strong production potential but large carryover stocks and varied demand signals across domestic and international markets. Together, these forces will shape supply balances, price direction, and profitability prospects in the year ahead. Terrain's projected planted area for all wheat in 2026-27 is 45.1 million acres, down about one-half of 1% from 2025-26. This would be the second smallest planted acres since 1919, when the USDA started tracking them. We expect all wheat yields to decline to just under 51 bushels per acre, in line with long-term trends. The combination of lower planted acres and yields results in an expected production decline of 4% from the previous year. However, total all-wheat supply in 2026-27 is little changed from the previous year, as the decline in production is fully offset by larger carry-in stocks. We project all-wheat use to decrease from the 2025-26 marketing year. Food use, which accounts for nearly 50% of total wheat use, will likely remain flat. Exports, which account for about 45% of total wheat use, are expected to dip. Lower exports are justified by the large global stocks, excluding China and the U.S., which hit a record high in 2025-26. Moreover, ending stocks for top exporting countries, Argentina, Australia, Canada, the EU, Russia, and Ukraine, are at their highest levels since the 2010-2011 marketing year. We expect feed and residual use to decline slightly. Terrain expects the stocks-to-use ratio to nudge higher as total supply remains flat and total use declines about 1%. Despite this, we forecast the average farm price for all wheat in 2026-27 will rise to $5.46 per bushel. The improvement mainly reflects better price alignment with stocks rather than structural changes in the market. For example, the price for all wheat classes hit at least a five-year low in 2025-26, and the expected wheat price for all classes in 2026-2027 is still below the 5- and 10-year averages. Prices are likely to stay at these levels unless exports can significantly pick up market share from other major exporters. For 2026-27, Terrain expects a slight reduction in sorghum planted area to 6.5 million acres due to lower prices relative to other crops. Harvested area will also decline modestly to 5.9 million acres. National average yields are expected to fall to 71.5 bushels per acre as yields move back closer to trend. On the demand side, Terrain forecasts sorghum exports to drop to 185 million bushels in 2025-26. Historically, the largest buyer of U.S. sorghum, China's reduced purchases are driving our expectations for a lower 25-26 export number. After a six-month hiatus, China resumed sorghum purchases in late November. If this pace accelerates, U.S. exports could rebound in 2026-27 to around 200 million bushels, which would be in line with the 5- and 10-year historical averages. With overall increased supplies, we expect ethanol use to increase 4% in 2026-2027 to around 108 million bushels. We agree with the USDA that in 25-26, feed use will be about 105 million bushels, and we expect similar use in 26-27. Terrain expects old crop 2025-2026 ending stocks to be over 50 million bushels higher than the USDA's current January WASDE forecast, which will lead to higher beginning stocks for 2026-2027 and continue to pressure prices. Terrain expects the 2026-27 national average farm price to be $3.69 per bushel without significant purchases from China.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.